Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. Yeah, it's me. I know, without that jazzy upbeat, it just doesn't feel like A Seeking Heart is starting, but it is. The music just didn't feel like getting up because it's Monday, after all. I know when this probably is podcast, the music will be there and you'll think, what on earth is she talking about? But Monday morning when we did this live, the music decided it didn't want to join me yet. Oh, we have the music up now. Good. So we'll have music for the rest of the day. Yay. It's my favorite part. It's like how I wake up in the morning. It's my, if you heard the story, I'm sure you've heard a million times, but I'm going to tell you again because I like to retell stories. But when we started the show back in January 2015, it was kind of that, actually it was 2014 when we were doing the planning. Is that right? Gosh, that doesn't seem right, but it was. Jennifer Longworth, who was the producer of the show at the time, said, what kind of music do you want? And I just said, I don't know, jazzy upbeat. That's exactly what she searched. Jazzy upbeat music. And that's what came up, very first song that she shared with me that she found. And we both were like, yeah, that's it. That's perfect. And someday, the plan is to do some live feeds, streams of the show while I'm on the radio waves to actually have a maybe Google Hangout or some kind of live stream. So you can see me boogieing to my music, and I hope you will boogie right along with me. Sometimes my guests have said that during the break. Wow, your music, it makes me like want to move. It makes me want to dance. Well, I hope that you are dancing into this new week. We are going to spend today just chatting, just catching up. You know, I have a guest tomorrow. Her name is Karina Turner, and her books are I Am Margaret, out from Chesterton Press. And, you know, my usual thing is to talk about the book before I have the author on, and I apologize to Chesterton Press. But it just felt like this morning when I was praying and getting ready for the show that the Lord just wanted us to talk. Just there's somebody out there that just needs to hear something that perhaps, well, I feel like I'm going to say sometime in the next 48 minutes that the Lord wants you to hear. And so we will hear all about I Am Margaret tomorrow. Wonderful young adult book, kind of like The Hunger Games, but with that Catholic Christian spin to it. Really excited. I've never read The Hunger Games, and I have. It's a trilogy. The I Am Margaret, it's Karina Turner's books. There's a trilogy, and I've only read pieces of all three of them because I am not a huge fiction fan, but I loved these books. And sometime I wanted to get through all three of them, which made reading them from cover to cover impossible for me, who is not a slow reader, but a prolific reader. I have a lot of books to get through. Just did a review on Jeff Caven's book, When You Suffer. That will be up on my website before the end of today. And preparing for this week, I actually have Wednesday is Marilee Haynes, Pictures of Me, Pauline Books and Media, another young adult book that we're sharing this week. And Friday, even though I'm not here, I'm going to be, God willing, at the Arise Retreat. We're going to have a brand new interview with Sherry Boaz. We had her on for the Lily Trilogy last year. This year, we have her on for Billow Tale. It's a squirrel tale. Totally had to do that book. When she sent me her books to look over, and I met her online and she said, I'm interested in having you on. All I wanted was one of the Lily books, and she actually is such a generous person. She sent me the entire 5 books of the Lily. Well, at that time, it was known as the Lily Trilogy, even though it had 4 books. But now I think it's going to end up with 6. She tells us on Friday. Anyway, so lots to read. So I apologize to Karina for not reading each book from cover to cover. But that's why we have her here, because she's read them and she can help us to get deeper into them. So we can decide if that's something we want to read and share with our children. Like Sarah Reinhart, and actually Sarah has talked about them on the show, and so hasn't Pete Sox. They both adored them, which is what led me to invite Karina on. And both of them just, again, adored the books, and I'm excited to speak with her. She's calling in from England, so if you like English accents like I do, I'm assuming she has one. And I probably will be completely mesmerized the whole show tomorrow. I know we don't usually do live shows on Tuesdays, but we will be here live March 8th, 10 a.m. here on A Seeking Heart, live with Karina Turner from Chesterton Press. I am Margaret. I had to reschedule her, and we just could not find a time to connect. And so I said, you know, Tuesdays were good for her. And usually I do the home visits on Tuesday, but I got someone to cover for me so we could spend some time with Karina. And then Wednesday, we'll be spending time with Marilee Haynes. Again, pictures of me, Pauline Books and Media. And then I'm off on Thursday. I can't believe it. Finally, for the Arise retreat. Going to talk a little bit more about that later. But that is the retreat being put on by Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor, who will be joining us here at Breadbox Media after Easter. I'm so excited. She's actually going to be following this show. And she has like the best radio voice ever. She's got such a great insight on things of faith and of life and of family. And I know you're going to love her if you haven't already listened in to Brooke Taylor's show over on Good Things Radio. She'll be coming over to here at Breadbox, and I get to meet her in person, which I'm kind of excited about. Finally get to meet Sarah Reinhard. Like, I am just a fangirl, truly. Like probably most of you, like meeting Lisa Hendy, I was like a total dork. Like, I have this like total Catholic dork bucket list. Like, I want to meet Bishop Barron. I would love to meet the Pope. I actually had this fantasy that I would learn Spanish so that when this optimism, I met him, I could speak to him in Spanish. I was like, I'm going to get Rosetta Stone and I'm going to learn Spanish. Yeah, that's just so not going to happen. Hopefully there's an interpreter nearby or I can just smile at him. It's actually probably very much a grace for him that I won't be able to talk. And all I'll be able to do is smile and say, hola, Papa Francisco. I need to learn to say, I love you. I don't even know how you say that. I shouldn't know how to say that. But I watch enough Dora the Explorer. I should know how to say that, right? Well, I hope that you've had a wonderful weekend. That's part of what I wanted to share with you, was my incredible weekend. I was able to go to a retreat. We'll talk about that in the next segment because there's a whole lot to it. I don't want to shortchange it in starting it now. If you'd like to join the conversation today, I would love to hear from you. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. That's 573-4BREAD-4. And hello brain. I'm sorry, I just got totally distracted. I'm gonna be like totally fess up now that there's commercials that run on my computer while we're on live, and the one that just came up is a lawyer from my town that I know, and I didn't realize he had a commercial. So it's just like his name and face popped up, and it was one of those. I need to kind of move myself and my microphone so I can't see. Squirrel Girl, if you do not know that I have ADHD, just listen for a little bit. It'll show. It will show itself why I am called Squirrel Girl. Anyway, so I would love to hear from you. 573-4BREAD-4. I want to know how your Lent is going. I love that question. I just read a blog from Danielle Bean. She had me on her girlfriend's podcast. If you haven't listened in, please head over to danielbean.com. She has the girlfriend podcast that she started, and I was very blessed to be invited on to chat with her. It's sort of fun to be on the other end, to be interviewed. Sometimes it can be kind of unnerving, but she was really gracious and she gave me the questions ahead of time so I could be prepared, and then we could just from the prepared questions, we did so well on time. We had extra time and we went into unprepared questions. And then I was a mess. It's kind of funny. Like simple questions. So what's your website and what's your show like? Like those easy ones. Like, no, let's go back to the hard questions because I was prepared for those. Not easy things like what's your show like? It's a hot mess. Welcome. So I want to know how your Lent is going. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. for Lent, I gave up television. And I know we're supposed to do our things in private, so it's only between you and God, and get your reward with God. But you know what? I think that we really learn from each other when we share. Like, I'm not sharing everything that I'm doing for Lent and how I'm growing closer to God and making sacrifices. But I think the no TV thing has been so incredibly fruitful. I just feel like sharing it with everybody. I guess, like, living in this time where I can DVR so many of my shows, that I realized that I would put the TV on to watch one show, but because it's on and you just get kind of literally get sucked into it, that I would find myself watching 3 or 4 hours of television when I really only wanted to watch a half an hour show or even an hour show. And so I really have enjoyed this no TV. I've been very good. I've gone from Monday through Saturday afternoon. I kind of changed the face at some point, and kind of the Sabbath starts for me at sundown so that I have given myself the ability to watch television Saturday night and Sunday. But I find that on Sunday, I'm not watching as much of it, trying to give more time to the family. So what have you done? What are you giving up? What have you added? You know, I've found that my productivity is off the charts. I've been able to blog every day. I'm going to talk about that when we come back, because I really want to share what's going on over on reconciledtoyou.com. Kind of excited that I have found this new amount of time. It's the Lord's inspired my heart to share new stuff over there. And so I hope that you will visit reconciledtoyou.com, my blog. I'll talk again about that when we come back. Want to know how your Lent is going? Oh, there's my music. Let's jam. Let's jam right into these commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today, we're kind of just doing a catch-up show. We're just hanging out, chilling, chatting, just figuring out how your Lent is going, how your life is going. I've been talking a lot over on my blog, which my friend reminded me last night that about 7 years ago, I told her I would never blog. I would never read blogs. It was just the stupidest invention ever known to man. I have to say, I still do not like the word blog. I think it's dumb. It's like, there's going to be a better word than that. The word has always bothered me. But I have, the last year especially, felt very called to share my heart on my blog. I think because I just realized that when I know somebody else experiences the things that I experience, when I can read their thoughts and see that they have similar experiences or struggles, and you just don't feel alone anymore, that is such a blessing. And, you know, the Lord gives you gifts and talents, and you're supposed to use them for His glory and for His good. And, you know, just praying and asking Him, what do you want me to do? And knowing that for whatever reason, He has given me the gift of gab and the gift of writing, and I really enjoy it. So I took this Lent to really take a momentous jump of being this sporadic blogger who would blog one day and then 7 months later blog again. I've really taken this time to make a more concerted effort to make my blog into something that people can go to and can expect and find something there for them. So I also started bullet journaling. If you listen to me and Christina, when she visits on the fourth Monday of every month, you will know that she's got me completely addicted to this bullet journaling. And it has organized my life so incredibly that I was finally able to organize my blog. And I brought my journal to adoration, and I sat there with Jesus. I love adoration. I love sitting in the quiet and the peace of being in his presence. I know I believe that the Eucharist is Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. I believe that when I am sitting in his presence, I am getting a foretaste of heaven, as St. Teresa of Avila tells us. I feel like I have this direct line to him, and that there's nothing impeding, like there's no laundry calling or dishes or house or, you know, bills to be paid or work to be done. I feel like when I'm sitting there in adoration, there's quiet. I can't talk. I mean, my brain can be busy, but it just has a really peaceful, quieting effect on me. And so I sat and I said, okay, what do I have to offer? What's going on that may connect with people and they might want to know. So the first thing I did was Mondays became Money Mondays. If you remember, I had Evelyn and John Bean on. They have a show here on Breadbox Media called Manage Your Money God's Way, or Manage, yeah, I think that's what it's called. I know I should know that. I'm sorry. I will link to it in the show notes to John and Evelyn's show. It's on Saturdays and Sundays here. I think it's Manage Your Money God's Way. Pretty sure that's the name of it. They have a CompassCatholic.org, and they have a small group study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. That one I'm sure of because I'm doing it. They were very gracious after they were on and kind of shared with them the financial issues and struggles we're having. If that was beginning of the year, right after my November disaster. And so I've been doing this, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this study, I really want to share it with people. So I had a friend and her husband who I was just telling her I was going to do the study, and they're like, can we do it with you? And I think that's been one of the greatest things. I know why, because I talked to Evelyn Bean, that it's a small group study. It says right at the top of it, small group study, because you can do things on your own, but when you join with others and you hear their stories and they hear what you're saying and they can kind of reflect back to you, especially when you're a married couple trying to do it, you could easily you can get into fights, or you can convince each other that it's not as bad as it seems, or it's so wonderful to have these good friends who are so honest with us, and we love them for that. But yet, we also see what they're struggling with, and it gives us a new perspective. It helps us to, again, know you're not alone, and there's encouragement in that. So Money Mondays is what's out there now. It's at least for the 12 weeks that I'm doing the study. We'll see where we go from there. I love variety, and I love series. I do. You'll see if you go on my blog, reconciled2.com, love series. But I also like variety. So right now, I'm doing the money thing. May go back to the food thing, because I'm struggling again with that. It's getting so frustrating, to be honest, to be not eating after 8 o'clock, to be like really feel like I'm only eating 3 meals a day. But like the finances, I was thinking last night, just like the finances, and I need to write every penny down because it's very easy to spend money when you're not aware of where it's going. I think kind of the same thing might be happening with my food. Like either there's calories slipping in there somewhere that I'm not aware of. So to become more mindful, maybe pull back out that wonderful book, Cravings, from Ave Maria Press and my friend Mary DeTorres Paust, might be time to pull that back out and maybe blog about that. Like as we, you know, kind of go from the spring to the summer months when wearing a sweatshirt and hiding that winter body isn't quite so easy. No, and I know that, and not to go on a tangent, but that's what I do. But not that it's all about being skinny and perfectly, your body being perfectly, shaped. But it's about being healthy. And I just don't feel like right now I'm being healthy. Of course, the winter didn't help with my walking. I haven't been out as much as I was. So, you know, just kind of get that encouragement to get back out moving. The treadmill sits here to the right of me, propped up because I have it in the wrong location and I have to move it. But, you know, that encouragement again of talking with others, we're like, I've been there. I know what you're going through. It's going to be okay. The older I get, the harder it gets. I remember being able to drop like 10 pounds in a week, like just thinking, oh, you know what? I'm eating too much or not being healthy. But of course, doing that wasn't healthy either. And I wasn't teaching discipline to my body in any way, shape, or form. But it's my cross. And, you know, one of the things reading Jeff Caven's book this weekend, When You Suffer by Jeff Caven's, just reading that, I realized everybody has a cross, and everybody's crosses come in different sizes and shapes, and they change throughout our life. And honestly, when I look at my crosses, I'm so grateful for them. They are light and sweet, and they could be so much heavier. Yes, of course, I'd love to be financially solvent, and I would love to be able to eat cookies and not it show upon my body. Of course, I would like that. Or never to deal with, you know, struggle with depression or anxiety. I haven't really had any bouts of depression in many years, praise God, but my anxiety is still in full swing, and that can be very difficult. In the food thing too, you know, all these allergies and menopause and all this stuff that is now coming upon my life. Again, those crosses are sweet in life. They're manageable. They teach me to rely on God. And as I was making my breakfast Saturday morning, and I pretty much been living on peanut butter and jelly for breakfast. And sometimes I'll have it for lunch. If I don't, I won't have it for both breakfast and lunch, but realizing there's very few things that I can eat. And part of it's my own fault because I hate to cook. I used to tell people I can't cook. Well, that's an out and out lie. I'm actually pretty good at cooking. I just don't enjoy it. So I just pretend I couldn't because that gave me the out. But really, I don't really stink at cooking. I just don't like doing it. I love watching it. I could watch Food Network all day long. But as far as actually bellying up to the stove and whipping up some food, ugh, don't like it. Just don't like it. So that leaves me very few options when you have to be dairy-free and gluten-free. And I've tried, by the way, in the last few months to disprove to my body that it needs to be those things, and I've lost. Just an FYI. No details. I'll spare you. Just know I lost those battles. So, you know, having this peanut butter and jelly every morning, and I was making it Saturday morning, and I started to giggle to myself because I was kind of complaining, like, oh, I miss having, you know, oatmeal and some of the other things that I used to have for breakfast. And I thought, wait a minute, when I was 4 years old, this would have been a dream come true, that my whole life would have been peanut butter and jelly. PB&J, like as a lifestyle choice, would have been just the bomb diggity. And now here I am. And it is like I have my gluten-free bread, and I have yummy peanut butter and this jam that's like just like a preserve, I guess, is more like what it is. It's a strawberry. It's phenomenal. It's just the yummiest breakfast. And like, why am I complaining? I have food. I have found something I can eat. It's not terribly over, fatty. I can make some better choices and maybe a little less peanut butter on there. But, you know, in all of the things that could be going wrong, my crosses are light and sweet. If you want to share your crosses, if you want to share your insights on anything I've shared this morning, or want to tell me about your Lent, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. I would love to hear from you. Or you can go over to a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. I will be checking that during the break. I'm always on there, the Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. Oh, I only said what I did on Mondays. Let me just quickly wrap up. So on Tuesdays, excuse me, you'll find my Lenten musing. So that will also be changing, obviously, after Easter. I'm not sure yet what will be. I think I'm going to start talking about mercy. I'm really sure that's what's going to happen. That's going to turn into the Year of Mercy blog day on Tuesdays. I have so much to say about forgiveness and the spiritual works of mercy. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen on Tuesday. Wednesday continues to be worth revisiting. It's a link up that you're always welcome to join. Thursday, I link up with CatholicMom.com for Small Success Thursday. I love just taking a look at my week and finding three highlights. You know, sometimes the weeks can be very hard and difficult, but to be able to pull out where you have been blessed is always a way to stay encouraged. Fridays, I share my roundup of where I've been, and Saturdays have become a book review for now. We are going to go to these messages and be right back. I hope you stay tuned to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today, we're just having one of those roundup shows. Every once in a while, I just feel the Holy Spirit call me to them. We'll have tomorrow an interview, a live interview on a Tuesday. I know we're going to have a live show on a Tuesday. Yay! March 8th, we'll have Karina Turner on. She's going to talk about I Am Margaret and that series that's kind of like a Hunger Game kind of series with a Catholic twist out from Chesterton Press. Wednesday, I'll have another live interview with Marilee Haynes. Her book is Pictures of Me, out from Pauline Books and Media. Then I am off. Oh, I pray that I'm off. I get very anxious. This is when my anxiety really kicks in. When there's something special coming on, I'm supposed to be going on Thursday to the Arise Retreat in Ohio. Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor and Jennifer Willits are putting it on. And I am so excited. The Lord, he blew me away. So I heard about this retreat and I thought, well, it's in Ohio and I have no money and I'm not going. So I didn't really give much more thought to it. And somebody I know gave me an email and said, are you coming? I would, love to do this with you. I'm going. And I just wrote back very honestly, not in the budget, not happening. Just unfortunately, I can't go, but I will bring it to prayer. I promised I would bring it to prayer. And so I asked two of my friends to pray. So if God wants me there, help me find a way or, make it known. Excuse me for a second. I inhaled a dust bunny at some point. Don't know how that happened, but I was very fuzzy blanket on my couch. And I was just hanging out on there blogging before we went live. And apparently half of it's in my throat. So I apologize for that. Anyway, so I asked these two friends to pray and then I went off to Mass and I prayed during the consecration, which I've been told by so many saints that's a really powerful time of prayer. So I just said, Lord, I didn't even really have a desire one way or the other. I just said, there's a reason that this came up. It looked wonderful, of course. I mean, Lisa Henley's going to be there, Sarah Reinhardt, Ben Walther. I think that's how you say his name. I'll know after this weekend. And I said, Lord, if you want me there, just, let me know, make it known and just let it go. That's what I did. So a day later, I got an email from that person saying, we've been praying and my husband and I have, through prayer, determined we'd really like to sponsor you to go. So first I said no, because that's way too big of a gift to give to me. You don't even know me. But then I thought, who am I to decide how God is going to bless me and how he's going to, if he put it on their hearts to offer that, they wouldn't have offered it unless they could. And he must have a reason for, allowing them to do this. It's a blessing. When you give to someone, it's a blessing for you and the Lord will bless them. So who am I to take away their blessing, right? It's an easy way to look at allowing myself to be blessed or to be able to go. And I didn't say yes right away. I definitely took it to prayer. And I thought of that. There's an old joke about a man who dies drowns and goes to heaven. At the gate, he says, I don't understand it, God. Why did you let me drown? I prayed and prayed. And there's more to the joke, but the joke, it leads up to there's a truck that comes and the man says, no, 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 God will help me. Then a boat comes as the water rises and he says, no, 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 God will help me. And then a helicopter comes, he's on the roof and he says, no, 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 God will save me. And then he drowns. And that's again, he gets to the gates and says, why'd you let me down? And God said, I sent you a boat. I sent you a truck. I sent you an airplane. What more could you want? A helicopter. What more could you want? And I thought, I prayed and God sent these people who were willing to very generously help me get there. Why would I say no? But here's where the anxiety comes in. So I feel like, here we go. God gave me the ability to go. Had the money for the plane ticket. That was mine. And I'm all set. But now the anxiety starts to creep in. It's 2 days away. And I start thinking, I'm going to get sick. Something's going to happen. I'm going to get the stomach bug or a cold or the flu. Something's going to happen and I'm not going to get to go. So I've been praying this novena to St. Therese, my favorite novena. It's 5 days. Novena, nine. Nova usually means there's 9 days of prayer. But this one's like a supersonic one. My friend's mother gave it to me when I was really young, like high school age, when I first started to come back to the faith. It's actually the same card I use as the one she gave me back in 1984 or 5-ish. And on the back, it says before 11 a.m., you say this short prayer, and then five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys, and five Glory Bees. And then on the fifth day, you say that short prayer again, and then again, the five Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glory Bees, and then you do it again, five Hail Marys, Our Fathers, and Glory Bees. And it has been an incredibly powerful prayer for me. I said it when we were preparing to go to China to adopt my daughter, Faith. And it was during the swine flu epidemic, and everyone was afraid, and China was quarantining people, and we were getting delayed after delayed. It took us 6 months from the day we were matched to her to the day we actually got to meet her. And that's a really long time when we were told it would be like 6 to 8 weeks. So I really started to lose faith and hope that we were going to actually go and meet her. Ironically, we were going to name her Faith, which we did. But I did this. I found this card and I called it a godsend that it would come back up into my life at that point. And I prayed the prayer. And the day that I finished it, we were supposed to hear from the agency when our travel plans were going to be. And I received, and I put out an SOS to all my friends, pray, 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 because that's what I do. I get my posse in heaven and my posse on earth praying for me. And I got a message out of the blue from this person that I barely knew. And her email address was MV_Rose. And all her message said was, will do. Now, if you know anything about the St. Therese novenas, she sends, and this one actually says it in the prayer, please send me a rose from your heavenly garden. And so I'm like, oh, there's the word rose. Because I don't think it's always, and I've been praying this for many years, to St. Therese for many years, it's not always an actual rose. Sometimes it's a picture of rose. Somebody will say the word rose. Sometimes it's just the actual word. So in this message, I saw this word, rose will do. And I thought, yes, we're finally going to go to China. This is what this means. And within an hour, I had a call from the agency saying, nope, we've delayed you again. They're closing down China government for a big celebration they were having, and they wouldn't let anybody travel. Like, are you kidding me? This is crazy. Like, I want to travel. Prayed it again. Finally got the okay to come. And again, sometimes prayers are answered and you don't realize how well God does for you until you have hindsight. So if we had gone when I wanted to go, we would have been really in the midst of the swine flu. Most people were being quarantined. We would probably never have gotten her. They would have kept us there for 2 weeks in a hotel and then sent us home. There were like all these things that could have gone wrong if we had gone when I wanted to and not when God was going to send me. And our delay actually put us with this group of amazing people. We were going to go alone, and now we ended up with 9 other families who we still stay in contact with 6 years later. We see them every year. It's this wonderful, we call it our Chinese cousins. It's this beautiful experience that we would have missed out on. So God's plans are not always what we understand, what we want, but they're always for our best, and they're usually pretty bum diggity-ish and blow our minds. This one did. But as we were taking off on the airplane, I hadn't really received the rose yet. I had done that novena for health and safety on our trip. That's always my prayer to her, health and safety. And then peace if I don't have either. If it's not going to be safe, it's not going to be healthy. Can I please have peace? And as we were about to take off, you know, the pilot always comes on and he says, this is your pilot speaking. Captain Roseberg. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's awesome. There's the word rose. There's our pilot. There's our sign that everything is going to be okay. So today, I guess that lesson for this segment is just anxieties can be great. You know, there's 365 times in the scriptures that the Lord tells us not to worry, not to be anxious, not to be afraid. And it's so hard sometimes, especially for someone prone to anxiety, to accept that as a message of hope and of peace. But that when we allow God to move in our hearts, we really can have back that peace. So I'm hoping, as St. James would say, you know, don't say I'm going so and so, but say if God wills, I will be doing such and such and so and so. So I really hope and pray that it's God's will that Thursday morning, I don't oversleep. I get to Connecticut on time, get on that airplane, get to Ohio safe and sound, healthy as a horse, and get to enjoy the fruits of a retreat that I am so looking forward to. I've not been on retreat in many, many years. I'll be live again, God willing, Monday morning, sharing all of the fruit of that retreat, and I'm excited to share it with you. I hope that you do get an opportunity yourself to go on retreat, maybe during Lent, or even if it's just a day retreat like I had on Saturday. I was there to speak, but I only gave one talk and there was four. So three other talks I got to listen to and get, you know, be encouraged and taught. And then we had small group, which I can't even tell you enough, coming together in small group, even if the small group is four people or six people or 15 people, coming together and sharing your heart and what God is doing and your questions. Like, some of the questions that the people had in that group were so eye-opening to me. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about some of those questions that came up in our small group, especially about the sacrament of reconciliation. My talk was on reconciliation and forgiveness, and I forget that there are a lot of people who struggle, really, really struggle to get themselves to confession, that there's many obstacles that keep them from that beautiful gift that the Lord has for us in that sacrament. So when we come back, we're going to look at the obstacles of reconciliation. This is just a chatty Monday, and I'm so glad that you're here with me. I hope that you stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today, we're just having a chatty Monday, just sharing things about Lent and reconciliation. But before I start talking about the obstacles to reconciliation and what keeps people from going, I would be remiss not to mention just a little moment of silence here for the end of Downton Abbey. I really think I'm going to need serious therapy to get past this. I was a wreck last night. I was an absolute wreck watching the end of that. It ended so beautifully. No spoilers. I won't give anything away, but somebody wrote on my Facebook wall when I wrote that I was a wreck. I was like total mess last night watching the end of that. And already into a serious morning. I'm going to miss Downton. I can't even tell you. I love that show. And those people, I just feel like they became family. And somebody wrote, well, it ended so well. And I thought, no, actually, that made it worse for me, because it ended so well, it makes me want more. Like, I want more. I want to know what happens next. I guess since they're fictional characters, whatever happens next, I can just make up in my own mind. But I just think that Julian Fellowes is just brilliant. And the characters and the time that it was set and oh my goodness, I can't even imagine my life without them. Just all of them. Just the funny, they really did do a fantastic job in the ending. And anyway, I won't spoil it, but fabulous stuff. Funny, heart-wrenching. I'm glad they ended, you know, everything very like positive, and they didn't rip my heart out, at least with some tragedy that I had to walk away from. I don't know, it's probably a spoiler. I'm so sorry, but you still don't know what they are. But anyway, beautiful stuff. And I actually was still a disaster, and I knew what was going to happen, because I am not good with, if this information out there that he had, the spoilers, I have to read them. I'm the person who goes to the last chapter of a suspense novel and reads how it ends, and then I can read the book. I'm not, it must be my anxiety thing. I'm not good at wondering what's going to happen. Anyway, Bye, Downton. I will miss you. Hopefully something new will come in your place that as is equally as enthralling and well done as that was. So the obstacles to the sacrament of reconciliation. So this was very interesting to me because I sometimes forget what kept me from going. So I was kept going because of fear and anxiety. Surprise, surprise. It would make my stomach hurt. I'd break out a sweat. I just did not enjoy sitting there and talking to a priest about my sins. It made me crazy. Like, I was petrified. Irrational petrification. But it was real. It was real. And then on Saturday's retreat, somebody mentioned something that I hadn't thought about in a really long time. And it was... this person didn't want to go to confession because he felt that because of the priest scandal and there was priests giving absolution who were the really horrendous people and doing horrendous acts. I mean, I think that there's a real brokenness to people who perpetrate things that, you know, like what was happening. Like, I think they had their own brokenness and their own issues, obviously, that they would do such a thing to a child or to anyone, really. But then that person was then sitting in judgment of you. And so it was really a wonderful opportunity for me to mention a few things. And when I finished, I actually saw him go to confession. So I was pretty excited that the Holy Spirit had inspired my heart to put me in that small group with this particular person, for him to ask that question and for the Holy Spirit to guide my answer. But the one thing you have to realize when it comes to the sacraments, that the priest is in persona Christi, which we believe that he's in the person of Christ. He is acting on behalf of Christ. He's like his hands and feet, let's say, his voice. But the forgiveness comes from Christ. The judgment comes from Christ. It's not the priest. He is just there as the vehicle of the sacrament, but he is not the one who is bringing the grace or bringing the blessing or the forgiveness. That's all from God. And because God is holy, no matter how broken the church gets from the people, how broken the people of the church get, the church always stays holy. God is holy. It is his church. It is always holy. Yes, there are things in it of unholy nature, but at its core, especially the sacraments offered through the church, always remain holy. No matter how sinful or in what state of sin the priest is, even consecrating the Eucharist, the host, or in the baptism or reconciliation, that grace is never changed because he's a broken person. Because it's not him who brings the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy. It's the judgment. It's all from God. God is holy. He is perfect, regardless of what that person, the instrument has been or done, does not change God's holiness. It does not change the effectiveness of that sacrament that you are receiving. So that was one of the things I wanted to really talk about. And if you have any questions about that, please feel free to send me a message over at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com or Seeking Heart with Allison on Breadbox. On Facebook, or any, you know, you can call in 573-4-BREAD-4. We'll have a guest tomorrow, Karina Turner. She's going to be here talking about I Am Margaret, Chesterton Press. Marilee Haynes will be here, Pictures of Me, Pauline Books and Media. Then I'm off for 2 days. But when I come back on Monday, I'm going to have a live show on Monday, the 11th, I believe it is. And it must be the 14th. Yes, it would be the 14th because it'd be 7 days from now. I'm so good at math. Please, I would love if you want to call in then and have a discussion, a deeper discussion about your obstacles to reconciliation, 573-4-BREAD-4, or send me a message and I'll be happy, again, aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com or allison@breadboxmedia.com, and I'll be sure to answer all of that for you. So the other things that people are, you know, that keep them from going is this other man who was not brought up Catholic, said this whole idea of going and telling somebody your sins is totally foreign to him, that he was always brought up that you could just tell God, go straight to the source, tell God you're sorry, and he'll forgive you. And that is true. There's nothing untrue about that. but what we just learned again in deacon school, like I love that I get to go to deacon school, is that the church teaches that there's not just one way to heaven. There's absolutely, if you claim Jesus as your savior and you are working to please him and be in communion with him, then you are just as able as anyone. I mean, we don't believe that we're saved as Catholics. We believe we're redeemed. Jesus' work on the cross redeems us. He gives us the opportunity for eternal life forever with God. But we also believe we have the ability to lose that redemption, our saving, because we also have free will. And we have a lot of time sometimes between that baptism when we're open to the redemption, the redemptive work of Christ, and our final breath. So we believe in being redeemed. We also have the hope of being saved, but we believe that we need to stay in God's grace, and we need to, through prayer, sacrament, and scripture, as I talk about my grace well being filled, prayer, sacrament, scripture are these sure ways of making sure we stay connected with God and filled with his grace. And of course, if you're doing prayer and scripture, then you're receiving that grace. But the Catholic Church offers this third option, called the sacraments. And the best explanation I was talking about it in the small group, this just kind of came to me, that kind of funny for not watching a lot of television, that my example is a commercial. But you see that commercial where the person tells the commercials for some drug, and if you ate one piece of broccoli and could be assured to be avoid heart disease, would you do it? So then the argument is, well, then try our medicine because it helps you be more assured not to get whatever the disease is you're trying to hide from. Heart disease, diabetes, I forget what it is. So when we look at the sacraments, we can look at those as being our one piece of broccoli, our assurance that we're receiving the graces necessary to enter the kingdom of God. We can tell God we're sorry, but why not receive the sacrament where you have a greater assurance that God is forgiving you? You get to hear the words, which I think is one of the greatest gifts ever. You don't have to guess. Did God hear that? Did God forgive me? There is a person in his place, in persona Christi, right there that says to you, your sins are forgiven. And that to me is such a, oh my gosh, such a gift to feel that forgiveness. I get goosebumps whenever I receive grace, almost always when I receive communion or when I receive absolution. I get this whole like body shiver. And I feel like that's the Holy Spirit just like cleansing me or filling me. It's such a beautiful reaction. I'm so grateful for that. And I've heard from other people that I'm not the only one who receives like that, those God bumps when they receive the grace from a sacrament. So yes, you know, we can come into God's heaven without sacrament. But why would you want to avoid something that gives you a better assurance of what you are hoping for and what you are striving for? Eternity forever with God. And here we have these beautiful sacraments, these vessels of grace that God has given us. And yes, it can be scary. And yes, the person there might be the biggest sinner in the world. But you know what? God has given them to us. God is holy. God is so good. And these are gifts. And gifts, unless they are received, open, and utilized, are useless. So we're going to just leave today kind of meditating upon those thoughts of pondering what gifts God has given us: grace, mercy, forgiveness, sacraments, scripture, prayer, all of those wonderful gifts that the Lord makes abundantly available to us. But unless we receive them from him, open them, cooperate and use them, they're not any use to us. So let's use our gifts from God. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please join me tomorrow for my guest, Karina Turner.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.